on most podcasts, I have organic starts, but for whatever reason with this one, we just keep not really doing it. So, Brett, can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Hi, I'm Brett Vervoort. I'm a writer and stand-up comic based out of Austin, Texas.
Hell yeah. And what's your controversial opinion today?
Well, I got a couple that I floated by you, but my big one is I don't think ADHD is real or ADD.
Yeah. And does it matter at all whether we call it ADD or ADHD? I keep hearing people trip over themselves about it, but I don't think anyone gives a shit.
I don't really think anybody gives a shit. And I feel like if you're paying that much attention, do you have it?
Right.
Really hyper-focusing on one thing, which is that H. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like we're too readily diagnosing it in kids, especially because if I was like 5 or 6, presumably I was at one point, I didn't pay a lot of attention. And I think that's fine. I think that's normal. I think that's healthy. But I think the fact that they're like, sit down in one place and finish this project, I was like, school sucks. Have we figured out that school sucks? And
right, instead of medicating children to fit into the school mode, maybe we should figure out how to make school work for what children are actually like.
Yeah, or do like what the Scandinavian people do, where it's like a lot of play time and then like some school, but you don't have homework until much later. Yeah, and I think a lot of people use it as a crutch. But I guess that's like part of a larger conversation about people using their sort of like mental diagnoses as crutches. But ADD, ADHD is always really like quick to pop in there.
Yeah. And ADHD, I mean, it seems, especially because we know boys in particular have a really hard time sitting still at those young ages. Like, so the boys are really like highly diagnosed with ADHD. And I mean, I know some people who, you know, they're, kid's been given Ritalin and stuff, and it's like, yeah, he had some kind of issues like really focusing and paying attention, and the Ritalin kind of helps him some, but do we really want to be putting kids on speed? Because but the whole problem is the education system is fucked up in the first place, right? Because you have too many students in a classroom, teachers who aren't as well trained as we would like a lot of times, and
they're
then
overwhelmed.
They're overwhelmed, and so they just need help to get through. You know, like, we just have a disordered society, and now we're medicating to make people fit into the disordered version of school.
I think there's a lot more systemic things that we can tackle first before we're putting a child on medication that they might become dependent on for most of their life.
And how do you feel about adults taking Adderall for ADHD?
I mean, I think if it works for you, great. But I do think there's other things people can try first before that. Like, it's just a weird system because, like, especially, like, to know if you have it, they just give you the drugs and see if it helps.
Right.
But here's the thing, like, yeah, I can be super productive on speed. I have done.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we all have. Yeah.
We all have. So, like, does it make you work better, or do you just think it makes you work better? So,
well, I don't know, because, you know, there are a lot of people in school, for instance, who are in really competitive programs who rely on usually Adderall prescription medication that they're either getting prescribed themselves or getting from friends. And so it's not that it doesn't really help people. I think it clearly does. I mean, in various of our world wars, soldiers were on various Nazis were on Pervitin. Yeah. And but so at first it was helping them do really well, but then they would crash, and I think it might have contributed to their downfall ultimately. But it's like those things can be really good in the short term, but the long term effects. I think about Kid Craddock in the Morning, who was like a morning radio DJ in Dallas for a long time, and I really liked him. I thought he was, you know, so funny. Like, I used to open a coffee shop in college, and so I would listen to radio, morning radio, and really liked him. And he had my same birthday. He and I were both August 22nd people, so I felt this kind of kinship. And I remember him that he was on Adderall, and, you know, it really helped him supposedly to, you know, and I'm sure to be a morning DJ.
To be a morning DJ, I gotta say, I feel like Adderall is definitely better than a cup of coffee.
Right, but he died at like 48 or something. I don't know exactly how old he was.
Was it hard or something?
Yeah, it was the kind of, it's like, yeah, the speed, you can't, yeah, it works, but there's a price to be paid for taking speed every day.
Yeah. I think I mean, especially like with some of the other, you know, mental health drugs too, like, I don't know. I feel like some people do definitely need them, especially if you have like severe things like schizophrenia, where you're just looking for something to give you a baseline because like your everyday is just up and down and up and down. But I don't know. I think there's more things we can do as a society that would put people at ease and wouldn't make them feel under the pressure of high productivity all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be performing at this certain level. And the only way we can do that is like, oh, you're not having a hard time because life is hard. You're having a hard time because you have a condition.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, life is the condition.
Right. But it's a lot easier to change our neurochemistry than to change society.
Yeah. But
so I kind of beat myself up about being on Prozac now, you know, been on Prozac for like 6 weeks and I avoided it for a long time because I thought, let me meditate, eat right, sleep, you know, do everything I can. But nothing worked.
No, I'm definitely had that conversation with friends where they're like, Brett, you should be on medication.
Yeah, well.
And I'm like, just easy living, baby, for me. Listen, let me pick myself up this bathroom floor and, you know, paint a big old smile on my face. And it's hard. It is really hard, but part of me thinks that that's, at least for me, is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I don't think it's supposed to be easy. I wish it was easier, and I think medicine would help me with that. But for me, it's like, I don't know. I need to do it the hard way.
Yeah.
Or just like, every day bleeds into the next.
Well, it's also like, in terms of, you know, it's one thing with SSRIs and stuff, like, you know, there's things where people can use things for a while to kind of get their current chemistry back on track and then try to ease off of it. But with speed, you know, not only is it, if you're going to start using it for the rest of your life, it's probably going to shorten your life. But also it's like with these college kids and whoever in these programs who are taking it so that they can compete, then it's raising the bar for everyone, right?
It
so
is raising the bar.
The more people who do it, then the more everybody else kind of has to dope as well in order to keep up. So
yeah, and then it's like what we're going to have, like the Russian U.S. Olympic team, basically. Mm-hmm. Like we're all going to be so medicated where we're all competing at this heavily medicated level. It's
right.
Just like, yeah, let all the drugs go in major sports.
Right.
Because then, yeah, that's a more fun game. And then we're all doing better. Whoa, that's incredible.
Yeah.
But I think there's like a good thing to a certain kind of like mental health gatekeeping where it's just like, maybe this is the best we're going to be as a society and that's okay. Like, I think it's better to try and accept that than try and supersede that by like taking some sort of limitless drug.
Right. But that being said, a good 30 milligrams of Adderall is a good time.
Yeah.
You know, taking it recreationally, how do you feel about that?
Not for me. Well, just because, like, I have done meth before, and I don't like...
Like once, or like...
Just once. Okay. But I didn't like grinding my teeth, and I remember ordering breakfast the next day, and I didn't finish my breakfast, and I was like, ugh, what a waste of a grand slam.
You could have taken it home.
I know, but like principally I was upset. I was like, I paid for it. I'm at this restaurant. I'm not eating because
that's
like, I don't know. It was like a very grandma reason to be upset at a drug, but I was just like,
oh, I can't finish this grand slam. You know what? Meth's not for me. Otherwise a pretty good drug, but
no,
I didn't finish my bacon and pancakes.
I was super productive. And like, honestly, I think it saved a friendship of mine.
Okay.
So like, hey, sure, yeah, Silver Linings Playbook.
I had a great night on meth once with a friend.
Yeah?
Yeah, just like a friend in college. She offered, and I didn't really know what meth was at the time. She just said, you know, my friend gave me some crystal methamphetamine, and I just drink it in my iced tea, and it just helps you, like, really focus and whatever. And she was like, I'll give you some if you'll write a one-page paper for me. And I was like, I'll write a one-page paper for you. You know, sure. Yeah, whatever. I didn't write it until, you know, 9 a.m. the next morning, but I wrote it. I had the best time talking to my best friend at the time, who I think has disappeared anyway. But
well, I think that's like all uppers, too, because it's like when I've done coke and I'm hanging out with my friends, I was just like, wow, we're like really clicking. We're vibing. Honestly, I think my luck is better. Like, mm-hmm. I'm finding parking spots I never found before. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing around corners.
Limitless.
That's crazy. Right. Exactly. Limitless.
I immediately am like, I can see why this drug is popular.
Yeah, I've definitely you know, those moments where you're like, oh, you know what? The crash of Coke is so bad. If I take a little bit every day, mm-hmm. it's not so bad. Then I won't crash. And then you're like, oh, you're just rationalizing a drug habit to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah. I don't know. I don't think I need to be more me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm good with the current level. I think maybe it's like, I like myself sober, but I feel like a lot of us feel like other people like us better, you know.
High?
Amplified.
I like myself high best, like on weed.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do, or like people like themselves better. Like they're like, I'm more confident when I drink and stuff
like that. A little weed and like one cocktail. Oh.
Yeah, I think it's just like for me, I like myself best here.
That sounds so nice. You like yourself best sober?
I do, because I don't.
You must have had a good childhood.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I don't understand.
We're both doing comedy, so we're, yeah, I think we're both. I don't know. I just like, I don't know. I don't think I'm very fun.
I don't think I'm very fun, but on drugs, I'm more fun.
Yeah. I think we had this conversation where we're like, I think we should become
more fun.
More fun or slightly more alcoholic.
Yeah. But maybe drugs aren't the answer. I don't know. Who can say?
I think, I don't know. I think it's a temporary solution to like a bigger underlying problem.
This is like, it just strikes me that everything you're saying about ADHD medication is like how I sound behind closed doors about gender stuff, you know? Like, well, the kids, first of all, and then even with the adults, I just think there might be a healthier way to figure out how society could get better so that we wouldn't need to be medicating ourselves for life.
Yeah, I mean, but isn't that the point of this podcast, though? Yeah. It's like we're having those quiet conversations out loud.
Alone.
And I think it is tough because we're all so mentally health aware, but I think it's like one of those things where the minute you decide or are diagnosed with a condition, I feel like you're putting a limit on yourself to living within that condition.
Yeah.
And you're never going to step outside of it. And you're going to ask other people to step inside of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, people start to rub each other the wrong way on a lot of these issues, is because like, not only have you accepted about this truth about yourself, which I think is totally valid, but it's like now, like you're a person with ADD. So now I can't assign you this part of the group project because it's too much for you, or you get overwhelmed. And I understand working with people, but like, come on, y'all.
Yeah, people are asking for special treatment a lot, and it's kind of, I think a lot of us have a cynicism of, do you really merit special treatment, or are you kind of just in the same boat we're all in, where life is fucking hard and we all need to pitch in more?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all need to pitch in more. I feel like collectively we're failing each other every day.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we're generally failing as a society.
We're generally feeling that. And now, you know, because it's after the New Year's and like you're doing your New Year's shtick where it's just like, hey, anyone in the audience make any resolutions? And everybody's just like dead, glass-eyed, looking at you. They're like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't even, I dare not even dream to hope, to wish. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh gosh, it's like, I imagine it's what looking at a slaughterhouse looks like, but just all these dead-eyed stares. I just wish people had more hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Well,
I mean, when you take Adderall, it does make you feel hope. So you're at a...
I guess feeling something. You're definitely feeling like energy for life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's very hopeful energy.
It is a very hopeful energy. And, you know, who am I to slap
tell people not to have a little speed.
You know what? Gosh, yeah.
Life is ultimately meaningless after all.
Oh, I mean, I'm more of an absurdist than a nihilist. Like, yeah, everything's meaningless, but then
it doesn't have to be nihilism just because it's meaningless. Meaningless can be kind of a positive.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Yeah, it's meaningless, but shouldn't we have a little fun? But
that's what I'm talking about, taking the Adderall.
Okay, then maybe it's like you should only do it recreationally, but if you need it, don't.
That's kind of how I feel. If you need it, you're using it as a crush, but snort it every now and then.
Snort it every now and then just to see what would happen. You know, wear your dick on the outside of your pants just for a gas. But but if you need to, if you need to have your dick out.
If you're dependent on Adderall,
yeah,
then maybe you've got a problem. But if you're doing it every now and then.
And then I think the downside, too, is like with Adderall specifically or any kind of upper like that, if like you're in between prescriptions or it's hard to get, then it's just like, oh, now you're asking all your friends for coke, or now you're asking for meth, because you're just trying to like keep that level.
Does that happen with people where they're prescribed Adderall, they can't get it, and then they slide into meth and whatever?
I have like had opiates? Some friends who are doing like who do other kinds of drugs until they can figure out whatever like prescription or psychiatric pharmaceutical situation, which sucks because it's really like a flaw in the healthcare system. But they will then use illegal drugs, which is scarier because like half of the things are cut with fentanyl now.
Oh, fentanyl.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. We should really test our drugs. That's an important thing to say since this has been a little bit of a pro-drug episode so far.
Yeah. Test your drugs. Should definitely test our drugs. They should, I mean, they should just make drugs legal. But they should definitely have, like, drug testing centers at all the festivals. Like, South by Southwest should have one. Everything should have one.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this today. We also need to test our ideas. You know, whenever I hear something from someone or facts, you know what I mean?
I thought that's what open mics were. We're just like, I'm just testing
ideas. Well, I mean, the ideas that you hear when someone else tells you something. I just found myself repeating a bunch of stuff on a different podcast earlier, like that I'd heard before as if it was all true. And I was like, I should test my ideas just like I should test drugs. I should before I, you know, in
just
terms
run
of,
it through
just look them up.
Google search.
Yeah, quick Google search.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I don't even need a kit. Who was the prime minister of Prussia? I don't know, but I was very strongly opinionated on it earlier. I think that's normal. I think that's human. We adopt other people's opinions as our opinions a lot of the time.
But some people are listening to really dumb people, and then they're spreading a lot of dumb stuff around.
That's true. I mean, I think because people equate success with, you know, intellect.
Yeah.
Which isn't the case. I mean, with all the billionaire sort of hero worship and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, I think maybe someone won the genetic socioeconomic lottery and you're equating that with like a high bar of intellect and merit that it does not deserve.
Yeah. Just because something's popular doesn't mean it's true.
Or good.
Or good.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, it might be a mark against things if they're too popular.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel when I watch some of those TikTok hack cooking videos where they're like, I'm going to dump a whole box of spaghetti and bake it. And I'm like, dude, you know how much starch is in that? Like, please, like, cook your spaghetti like a normal person. I couldn't say spaghetti for a second. I had a stroke.
What are they doing? They're baking them?
Yeah, there's like there's all these videos where it's like one pot dishes, basically being the idea you can cook everything in one pot, less dishes to clean up.
Yeah.
Great. Love it. But it'll be often a video of someone taking a casserole dish, dumping a whole plate of spaghetti, and then putting all the things that you would use to make the pasta on top, baking it all in the oven, and then taking it and stirring it once it's done. But the problem with that is
like lasagna soup.
It's lasagna soup, and you have all the starch from the cooked noodles getting into the sauce.
Oh.
And it's so much more starch that way.
Oh, because instead of draining in a colander and all the starch water leaving.
It's all mixed in.
I don't think I would have even thought about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think about it way too much. It just makes me angry. I was like, I understand that this is easier for people, but y'all are nasty.
Well, they're going to get diabetes or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they could eat smaller portions.
They could eat smaller portions.
Maybe they're just making more food. Maybe they're just not wasting the starch water. Maybe you're disrespecting the starving kids in Africa.
Oh, okay.
By not eating the starch water.
I didn't know they were making one pot dinners.
When Casey and I were doing van life and we were like, we would cook noodles, we would always save the noodle water and make like savory tea out of it.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a way to use to not be wasting the starch.
Is it good, the tea?
Yeah, because we had like this kind of like peppery ginger something tea.
Okay,
and then we would
so
put some hot sauce and lemon in it. And
this is quite a concoction.
Yeah, we never wasted our different, like if we boiled beets, we would use the beet water.
I think that's very ecologically conscious because, you know, water is an important resource. But I think, I think it's, you have time. You can make a two-pot dish. You have the time to boil some water.
You could boil noodles.
Yeah, if you got 45 minutes.
How do they do baked from hard? Just baked from
Just baked from hard.
How do they do in these one pot bakes?
I mean, I think the noodles come out soft, because there are lasagna noodles now that you can just do baked from hard and they come out soft.
What is it, usually parboil them first?
Well, yeah, you usually want to, getting real into the nitty gritty, but yeah, you want to boil it first. Drain it off. Maybe you want to reserve a little bit of pasta water to thicken the sauce. Uh-huh. But all of it just feels like excessive.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do we get onto that from ADHD medication?
Well, honestly, maybe I should have been on it. Otherwise,
you were watching TikTok.
I was watching TikTok. Mm-hmm. You know what? And it's giving kids ADHD. I shouldn't say that. They're listening. But
TikTok is definitely, yeah. I mean, if you don't. It's like Natasha Leggero had a line about how she's like, if you don't have ADHD anymore, OCD, ADHD, whatever, I guess maybe she says ADHD, like you're not paying attention. Like you're not, or you're not, you know, like who doesn't with all of the internet stuff that's going on?
Yeah, I definitely feel like my capacity to pay attention to things has gone way down, because I used to just sit and read books.
Accustom us to 7 second clips on average.
Yeah, but I understand that. I was like, oh, I'm definitely capable of paying attention for longer. Mm-hmm. I'm just not, because of how the information is processed online so much. Social media has like dropped it down.
See, I've just never gotten very into TikTok or Reels or anything, like watching YouTube content. Like, I kind of wish I did. I kind of wish the algorithms knew be better, because I try to go on these things and I'm like,
what do they suggest to you?
Dude, the other day Instagram tried to sell me, this wasn't a reel, but it was an ad. They tried to sell me condoms. I was like, I'm kind of proud of myself, because the algorithms just don't know me at all.
Yeah, when you've tricked the algorithms, it is a happy feeling. Like, I watch a lot of videos of, like, black women doing their hair, you know, doing braids and stuff, and I think they think that I'm a black woman, mm-hmm. because they're trying to sell me a lot of products for, like, curly, like, 3C, 4C type hair, and I was like, I ain't got no hair.
Yeah.
So.
That's funny. But why do you watch those videos?
They're soothing, you know. I feel it's beautiful, you know, just watching the braids go, you know. See, it's like watching someone make a Zen garden.
That's what I'm talking about. It seems fun to watch this random bullshit on the internet sometimes. I don't really know how to find the random bullshit that would soothe me.
Yeah, I guess, like, if you're looking for something and then just see what's in the suggested column next to it, you know, and just see where that rabbit hole goes.
I gotta start scheduling time to go on rabbit holes.
Yeah, well, you said you had a free evening tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow I'll
smoke
go on a
weed,
watch go on a rabbit hole,
YouTube videos, and you'll be back where everyone was in 2006.
Yeah, hell yeah, it's time.
Yeah, but it's funny though, talking to like kids now, because the only way I feel like they communicate is like telling me what videos they've seen. Mm-hmm. They're like, I saw this video of like a dog and it was bringing a big stick into the house. Like, the way they communicate is all through things that they've seen online.
Yeah.
And that's how they're like relating to me. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. It's like, but what do you do? Mm-hmm. Small child, what do you do? Like, what have you seen? Like, what's this personal story? But it's all things that they've seen online.
There you go. So the kids are over-medicated. They're over-TikToked.
They're over-TikToked.
Or whatever they're watching. Anyway, I don't even know what the kids are watching.
Yeah, but I mean, I really can't blame parents for that, because it's just like, I think most parents would like to be more hands-on with their kids. But, you know, it's always easier to just put them in front of a screen. And as someone who used to babysit and was not a good babysitter, I definitely did. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. Just let that sweet YouTube playlist roll. But
Kind of sucks.
But the more I hear myself talk, the more I just sound like an old woman.
I love it. So do you know any friends in your life who you think who have an ADHD diagnosis that you think this is horseshit?
It's hard to, I mean, there's so many of my friends who claim to have it, and there are definitely a lot of my friends who do have more energy than me, but I just think that's, like, maybe because they're extroverts and I'm introverts.
But are they on medication?
I think so.
Well, then, yeah, it makes sense they have more energy than you.
Yeah, I think they're on medication and stuff like that. So I think there are some that I'd kind of be curious to see what they're like off it. But then I have seen friends that are off it and then they're very reckless. And I was like, I don't know. But is that because it helped them or is it because they're dependent on him to function? It's hard to say. You know, chicken and egg situation.
But it definitely feels like people are overdiagnosed.
It does. Like, I mean,
that we're just medicating kids to make it easier to wrangle them.
Yeah. Because we just want to make more workers.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh, you should learn how to sit down for a long period of time. Because that's what most of adulthood is. Mm-hmm. Is learning to sit down for a long period
of time. Be bored and waste your time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel like we're mostly in agreement, except that I think, you know, recreational Adderall is fine. But then again, I say that, like, I used to, when I had access to Adderall, like, someone I could buy it from or whatever, it was always a little tempting. You know, it was always like, or if I would get it, it would burn a hole in my pocket or whatever. You know, so I really did have to kind of be like, let me just put Adderall on.
Would you, like, use it right away? Like,
yeah, or I would save it, but, like, then I would just... And I was even good about, like, you know, I knew how much I would do one night. And if I had more, I wouldn't just take it. I would, like, save it for the next time. I honor come downs and stuff. It's just that I liked it too much. You know what I mean? So it had that feeling of, like, I would be thinking about, oh, I should buy some more and do some more. You know, like.
Yeah, if you like it too much, yeah. then it's a problem.
Yeah. So I don't really. But there's a part of me that feels like, I feel like I could do it now. I think I have done it a couple of times in the last few years where it's just like I just got some randomly from, you know, some comic paid me an Adderall for whatever or something.
Maybe it's like one of those things like smokes where it's like, if you're trying to quit, like don't have your own. But if someone offers you one,
yeah,
maybe have it.
I'll clean my house on a on a tin, you know, pill. Yeah. Or whatever. You know, that's a nice thing to have. Get distracted by some random shit that takes my interest and then get back to cleaning and then whatever. I mean, yeah, I like an Adderall day. I miss it. I used to do 30 milligrams with like my first long-term girlfriend. She would always just do this thing where she would write like the name of everybody she ever had known. And I would just talk about my childhood and stuff. I would just talk and she would just write. It's a great system.
Write the name of everybody just, like,
every name,
ever known?
Yeah. Every time.
Wow.
I really enjoyed that.
I guess that must be... I'm just kind of envisioning Bart Simpson with a chalkboard.
Just gave her something to do while I just yammered on with all my stories.
She's like, yeah, tell me more.
It was great. A talker and a listener dating each other, you know?
I mean, that is the perfect relationship.
It's nice. You give us some Adderall. It's killer.
Okay, well, I mean, listen, clearly it worked. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Those are good times.
Yeah.
I miss those times. Yeah.
Well... We have Adderall in the house tonight.
Let's do it now.
I'm going to write the name of everybody I've ever known, including the ones that hurt me.
Yeah, some will have their names with little blood marks on them.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Little knives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good time.
Doesn't it seem kind of fun to try to write down everybody you've ever met?
I think so. I mean, I feel like there would definitely be things that I'm struggling with because like once the further back you go, like
it would really get crazy pulling. But you would start to have like memories of people, you know, and be like, oh, I thought about this person in years.
I think that's why I like film photography or like the idea of like disposable film cameras more than digital film, because like I'm like looking through old photos and it's just it gives you the nostalgia of looking backwards because you don't have it on your phone, so you're not looking at it constantly. So you have enough time to forget it. And then when you look at it, you're like, oh, dang. Yeah, what was I doing in Mrs. Unger's second grade class? And who is that guy that bet me $1 million I wasn't wearing this same shirt for the school photo?
Did you win $1 million?
He never paid me, but I remember that bet.
Should sue.
I should, if I could remember his name.
If you did some Adderall, it might come to you.
Ooh. Pulling from the deep, deep wells.
30 milligrams might kick that name up your memory hole. All right. Well, I think we covered that. So we've come out against medicating children with ADHD, but for occasional recreational use for adults.
Yeah. I'm in with that.
Okay.
My other thing is I don't think white people lotion enough.
That's true.
I think it's factually accurate. Most white people I know don't lotion on a regular basis. I do it religiously because I'm vain enough to want to be attractive well into my 40s.
Yeah. I mean to do it more. I don't know how important, because I've gotten better about my face, but I don't know how important the body is. I'm a little haphazard because if I'm at the gym and I take a shower there, then I don't always lotion.
I know. Well, I mean, yeah, you gotta bring it with you.
Well, they have it at the gym too. I just
it's over there.
It's nice. It's a rock climbing gym. They have nice lotion there.
I'm really picky about the stuff that I put on my body, but I think it is important because it's like your skin is the largest organ on your body, and I think it needs nourishment, especially like with how polluted the air is, with how like dry or humid some climates are. Like, you need to get stuff to feed and take care of that organ.
Now, I have a friend who doesn't use any lotion, but he just believes in natural oils and stuff, and his skin is doing great.
I mean, there are people that do that too, and they don't shampoo their hair and they just kind of like brush it out. And I do think there is a certain rationale to that.
If you can get into the right double dutch game with your own body of...
Yeah, and I've tried it, yeah. And I've just gotten really musky. Right. So I think if like you're very good about taking care of yourself or able to get
to eat right, maybe?
Eat right, and then like protecting your skin barrier in the way that it's like able to be at full health. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what we eat and a lot of like what we do activity wise and just like climate wise, it all affects our skin.
Yeah, because I get confused because I hear some people saying things, it's better to be more natural and like not use sunblock, for instance, but just to like slowly build up your melanin over the time, so that you're always kind of just keeping and, you know, getting in and out of the shade sometimes and just try not to burn, but that's better because sunblock is actually bad for you. But then some people are very adamant that you gotta sunblock.
I mean, the one thing that like most, if not all, dermatologists can agree on is that everybody should be using sunblock, especially because the sun that we have right now isn't the sun that existed.
We have less ozone layer, right?
We have less ozone layer. So we're getting more UV rays. So the risk of skin cancer is even higher. And even if you're a person of color, you should also be using at least some light grade sunscreen. And they're way more melanated than I am. And yeah, and I don't go out without like SPF 50.
Yeah.
Because I think I was like, sure, but like give it 10 years when you're looking like an old leather handbag.
I know. I've started dating an Asian woman, so she's got me using sunblock. I was not.
Yeah.
I was not.
Yeah, they don't mess around, and they got the protective hats or like the sun parasols.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're also racist against darker skinned people, so it's a two-parter.
That's true.
But they do also want healthy skin.
I mean, there was a brief amount of time where I used skin lightener. I used like Asian skin lightener to make myself paler.
Why?
Because I just accepted that I was pale, so I was like,
just trying to lean in. Like,
so I was like, I'm just gonna lean in.
You were and wearing white face.
I was, and wow. Yeah, in some ways I still am. No, but I've definitely not done that anymore because that the kojic acid in a lot of that stuff is not good for your skin. But
I'm glad that skin lightening is not good for you. That feels right.
It's definitely not. Like, I think there is a good sense to being like, hey, however you come into this world, just try and maintain it.
Yeah.
Just try and maintain
it. You can get a tan.
Yeah. If you can get a tan,
I love a tan on almost everybody.
It looks great. But it is one of those things, like, there's so many healthy ways to at least give the illusion of a tan, especially if you are someone who has a history of skin cancer in your family. Like, there...
I just think you got... Okay, use sunblock, whatever, but it's like the marshmallow that you keep far away from the fire and slowly rotate it to get a perfect s'more. Don't put it up in the fire, get it burnt, and then blow it out, you know, but just a slow roast. You can get a really nice tan. I don't think it's bad for you.
I think if you do it over time... Like anything,
it
accrues though. It accrues like all the sun you absorb in your life over time. It accrues.
You also get more like vitamin D and serotonin, I think, when the sun is getting right in.
I mean, you do get more vitamin D, but
at what cost?
it's one of those things. Like, if there weren't so many holes in the ozone, I think, yeah, people could get away with more slow roast rotisserie tanning. But because there are so many holes in the ozone, it's like, oh, really taking your skin into your own hands.
Are you sure the old ozone didn't get patched up? I feel like now I remember someone saying that they fixed the ozone.
Oh, lies. I doubt it. They fixed the ozone. Okay.
Yeah, remember they used to talk about it all the time when we were kids, and no one talks about the ozone anymore.
I think they gave up on Earth Day, but they're like, we can repair the ozone if everybody just stops using hairspray, I think was the big thing.
Oh, really?
If everybody just stops using hairspray, we'll, over time, the ozone will heal itself like a self-cleaning vagina, but I don't think that ever happened.
The universe is a self-cleaning vagina, really.
It is, but we might be the bacteria.
We are the bacteria.
We're the
sure.
yeast infection for sure. No, I don't think they ever fixed it. I feel like under the priorities, it's healthcare and then education, and then they're and then maybe we'll fix the ozone and clean the oceans.
I like the idea that we're the Earth's yeast infection. Maybe particularly the white devil people.
Oh, for sure.
Some of the others might be healthier bacteria, but... Well, I like it because I have this whole thing where I don't think that we should call people white. You know, I think that we...
Caucasian?
Well, I would suggest wheat to reflect this kind of skin color better. And Caucasian, I think, is a weird term anyway. I don't even know exactly what the caucus mountain. I'm not sure it makes any sense, really.
Yeah.
And so, but I think wheat gives this benefit where, because we need to stop calling people white because it's archetypally fucked up. Because which archetypally, we associate white with good and pure and clean.
Yes.
And black with death and evil and badness.
Are you still calling black people black?
Well, black people can decide what they want to do with their own term. Obviously, I can't. I'm not going to be speaking for anybody else. And I think black also is has a cool vibe. And so you can kind of take that with black is both kind of bad, but also bad boy, blacker the berry, sweeter the juice. So there's some give and take with that. But with white, it's just archetypally, we have white blood cells as healthy ones. No, they're not actually white. We've labeled them that. But archetypally, we have white as it. And so if we're inherently being supremacist to even be calling people white, we're never going to be able to get rid of the associations that make that problematic, because you're associating certain group of people with the cleanest, highest, best order. That is what white is. So if we call ourselves wheat, we can still acknowledge wheat privilege. But what's not catchy is wheat supremacy. It doesn't make sense.
No, I think the diminutive E is definitely a lot less powerful. But I will say, what are you going to do with people with a gluten intolerance?
Well, that's what it has an added benefit of annoying the wheat women who are obnoxious about
the wheat women.
It's usually them who have the wheat intolerance. It's cute. And then it also turns out that the earth has a wheat intolerance, or that we're a yeast infection. That's why I brought it up. This whole thing is we're yeast.
Really gone full circle.
Maybe we could even call ourselves yeast.
Yeah. Yeasty boys.
Kind of a yeasty group.
I looked it up. The ozone layer is in remission.
Aha.
It's mending itself and will be completely closed. Is expected to be completely closed and healed by the early 2060s.
Because nobody uses hairspray anymore. We all use pomade and whatnot.
That's true.
Other regions will return to pre-1980 values even earlier than that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well then I say give it five more years, and then everybody can start spit roasting themselves.
We did say that until the 60s or so. Yeah, so maybe I'm jumping in the gun on my.
What? Yeah, I mean there's so many lotions too that have an SPF 15, mm-hmm. or even if you're not crazy about it, it's just something.
Well, I've just heard some hippies talk about these sunblocks mostly being bad for you, and you know, it's kind of like if you find a natural product, maybe that would be better. But it is getting into your body through your skin.
It is, and there was some skincare brand, I want to say it was maybe Sunbum, a few years ago. They had some ingredients in their sunscreen that were cancer causing.
Yep.
But it's really cancer causing, blanket statement. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we eat and consume.
Depending on the quantity, it can be carcinogenic. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like, not only do you want to find stuff that doesn't have that in it, but also reef safe is the other big thing in sunscreen. Is like, hey, a lot of the sunscreen, then you get in the water and then it's killing fish.
Right.
So finding a reef safe, skin safe sunscreen.
Because that's a problem. We tell all these plebeians, hey, wear sunblock, and they go to Walmart and buy the cheapest shit that's polluting the earth and giving them cancer while we're at it.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to incentivize people to make the right choice if they don't have the financial means to.
Not the financial means, but they don't even know. Well, that's why, I mean, we're spreading the message. But they don't know that it's bad for themselves and the environment, and like what the trade-off there is. And Walmart or whoever, Amazon, provide these people cheap options readily. And so that's just what people are going to do. And so that's why I'm like, I hesitate to be like, everyone use sunblock, because it's like, I don't know, the cost-benefit analysis on everyone using sunblock more, it might not be as good as you're thinking.
Well, totally, but I think it's like one of those things, like science moves as fast as it can, but we're always playing catch-up.
Right.
So, you know, if they put out something new and you're like, I'm going to wait, you know, 5 or 10 years and just see where the research comes out on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I totally understand that, but that was also like the people who wouldn't take the vaccine for COVID because they're like, I want to, you know, wait a little bit.
Well, that makes some sense.
It makes some sense.
Especially if you're young and healthy.
Yeah, but
able to be outside a lot, not around as many people. Like, there's a lot of factors.
If you're not going to be outside a lot, I understand, like, waiting, but I wanted to hit those mics again and I couldn't wait. So I was like, get me out of this house. I'll take anything, you know, sterility be damned. I said, a little less of me. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be a benefit to the world. So, you know, no birth control out there, rocking it. Vaccine up, you know, load me up. But I think it's, you know, science moves as fast as it can and we're always playing catch up. But I think it's good to go with the best advice at the time.
I think, though, too, people could focus more on wearing hats and covering up more, getting into the shade frequently. That's big. Because the thing is, like, you really can be in the sun for short amounts of time. But if you're able to get into the shade regularly before you start really feeling the burn, like get in and out of the shade, that is a way to get yourself from keep yourself from burning without having to put this toxic stuff in your body or in your lakes or rivers.
Yeah. And I think with that, with the hats, at least, I feel like maybe for some women and also some men, they're like, but I don't look cool. So we need cool.
Some hats are cooler than others. Yeah.
But a lot of those, like the UV protective hats, they're like all like gardening hats, sort of. They're all kind of like floppy. I think if someone made a cooler.
We need cooler sun hats. Okay.
Yeah. I think if you make something cooler, people will buy it.
True.
Just like, hey, we made a sunscreen and now it's in an all black bottle. And you're like, wow, cooler.
Yeah. Good point. Okay, so cooler sun hats. I mean, some are cool, though. Some are cooler than others. There's some. And people can rock the little fishing kind of look. I don't know.
That's true. Some guys can with their jorts. Mm-hmm. Just go out there, just really basking it up. Just put the little white thing in their nose. And they're like...
It's a cute look.
It's a cute look.
Chicks dig it.
You know what? You know, if you can get laid like that, then bravo. Sand in your shorts and everything. Bless. But I'm an indoor kid, and so, I don't know.
That's not natural.
It's not natural, but I don't know. Anytime I'm out in the sun, I'm always sunscreened up. I'm always lotioned up. I got to.
Well, yeah, I mean, so back to your original lotioning point for white people.
Specifically white people, because I think a lot of other cultures are better about it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like they say, you know, black don't crack, whatever. It's like, well, yeah, because they're putting coconut butter on themselves.
Yeah, they take good care of their skin. Yeah. They take good care of their skin. They take good care of their hair. And that's why, like, when you see a black guy on the street, he always smells and looks lovely. Mm-hmm. And then you see, like, a white guy, and he's like, I just blast my dick with hot sand. Mm. And you're like, ugh, you smell terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just take a little bit more care of yourself. And there's so many options to make it easier. There's no reason you should be walking around with dry elbows.
Yeah, we need more lotion. More high quality lotions too that aren't giving us cancer and polluting the oceans.
Yeah. I think if they just made everything healthier, also easily, more easily accessed, that would be better.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like, the more that we all spend our money on those better products, also design products, invest, you know, start
Gosh,
companies.
Whatever. Darn it, but, capitalism.
But, you know, don't shop at fucking Amazon so much, you know.
Yeah. Don't shop at Amazon so much. Don't always go for the cheapest thing without looking checking your products. Mm-hmm. Always flip over the side of the label. But all of this stuff requires work. Work that can only be done presumably with ADHD medication. If I want people to start paying attention the way I want them to start paying attention.
They might need speed.
They might need speed. Or
less. You have to remember, people be dumb.
People are dumb and people don't like to read if they don't have to.
Yeah, they really don't like reading.
They really don't like reading.
Who was that comic who has a joke? Oh, it's Hans Kim who has a joke about how white people just hate math so much. Like, we'll just avoid. And it's like, yeah, people hate reading.
People do. I mean, like, you could send out a really thoughtful email or, like, a thoughtful text message, and then they'll just, like, grab onto the key phrases that are important to them.
I'll tell you, you know what? People's long Instagram posts, I rarely read those.
Oh,
I don't.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, I don't say enough. I should post longer ones, but I was annoyed by people. I'm like, I don't want to read. That's not what this is.
The only time I ever post those is usually I'll try and put like a thing at the top, like, hey, or like those TLDRs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Too long, didn't read. Like, you can do a synopsis. And yeah. Be like, hey, just a heads up. And then if you want the full thing, it's further below.
That's true. A TLDR is a great innovation.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just saying, hey, I'm considerate that, like, not everybody is, like, consuming
it's this. Very, it's, like, ableist of them and classes to think that we have the time and the attention span to.
Yeah, it is. But, gosh, but then it puts pressure on people who, like, sometimes I want to say the long statement because the ideas that I'm trying to get across, like, when I'm trying to write a joke, sometimes I like to go the long way around. Sometimes I like to take the scenic route.
No, it's fine. Some people are going to read it and some people aren't. And that's
some people aren't. But, you know, for the people that aren't, I'm going to try and edit more videos with, like, fun little pictures in them that pop up and fun little GIFs. So you guys are always getting stimulus.
I thought it was GIFs. Wait, is GIFs. It GIFs? GIFs. GIFs.
It's graphic, so it's I think it's GIFs. But
Jiffy peanut butter.
Choosy moms choose GIF. And if nothing, I feel like I've proven on this podcast that I'm a very choosy mom. Choosy mom energy.
Choosy mom energy is good.
Yeah.
I saw some hot woman walking around the other day in Houston with a sweatshirt. It was like a really nice sweatshirt, yeah, that said Cool Moms Club. I was like, that's good.
Do you like it?
Oh, yeah.
You could rock that. You could.
Yeah,
rock
I should wear that.
Cool Moms Club.
That's fun.
I feel like there's like a group of women who don't know that they're lesbians in your audience with like big old glasses of white wine. Like, I'm a cool mom. I would love that sweater.
I should just make that. I don't know what that was. Like, if there's a group or if it's in some, you know, she bought it at Urban Outfitters or who knows. But
I'm sure it's just like some targeted Instagram ad that she got.
Probably.
While she was like scrolling.
At least try to sell me rainbow stuff. They
it's
sell
a
her
full clothing brand.
Hell
cool
yeah.
Cool Moms Club. It's a full brand.
Hell yeah.
It's a full brand called the CoolMomsClub.com. They have a full clothing line.
How much does a sweatshirt cost?
It looks like their sweatshirts are $42.
$42?
Okay. Do they have pants as well? I'm assuming they have pants.
They have graphic tees for $24.
They have thongs. What do they got?
That's a real cool mom. Yeah. That's a real Stifler's mom coming out in your cool mom thong. Uh-huh. Hey guys.
No sweatpants.
If you had the like sweater and the pants, like the full track suit and then just a chain.
I don't know. This is more like cool mom's going to be wearing little short like denim shorts with a slightly large sweatshirt that's in yellow that says Cool Moms Club. She's got tan legs.
She got tan legs.
She's walking a cute dog.
Yes, small
like
dog.
Like an actually cute one, yeah.
An actually cute one.
Because this is the kind where you like you kind of want to hate her because she's almost just a cliche, annoying, but she's hot.
And she's
cool.
Living her best life.
She's living, and don't you want somebody to be a cool, hot mom?
Yeah.
The great dog, an adorable
kid, not
for me, kid.
Someone else should be living that
someone
life.
Someone should be living that life.
Someone should be living
we're always
that
begrudging
life.
People sometimes where it's like, someone needs to be living that life.
That's true. I don't know. I think it's because we all have a lot of ideas about the right way to live.
Right. But it's like, it's not right for everyone. Someone should be hot, cool mom and her little
sweater.
Someone
should be hot, cool mom. Someone should be like.
And I want to fuck her. So
if this is you, if you saw her.
Yeah, this is my Craigslist misconnection thing.
Yeah.
I would like to fuck you, hot, cool mom. But if you're wearing cool mom's club stuff, I'm guessing I'm attracted to you, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like the kind of people who are buying those sweatshirts, I should find them.
I think there's like obviously like an overlap, or you should reach out to them about sponsoring your right. podcast. You're yeah. like, I'll wear all the cool Bob's yeah. Club merch you want.
You know, people are identifying as anything they want now. I'm going to identify as a mom. I have a diaper bag in the car that I use as a purse. So
that's a strangely weird flex that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean,
great. I was originally going to use it as like a prize bag when I was on the road. It was going to be like, and then it just kind of became useful.
They have so much storage.
Great pocket system.
Oh, yeah.
And it's cute. It's got little turtles on it.
It's got little turtles on it? It's
pleasing.
Shit.
It's black and blue. It's.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. This is like. Electric.
Plus, and then people don't know whether I'm a mom or I have an adult baby friend, or you know, it could be yeah. anything going on.
I feel like Ava knows some adult babies.
Yeah, she does.
No, would love.
I know some adult babies. Well, I know a lot of adult babies, actually. Well, my diaper bag has nothing to do with them.
Yes, this is a separate cool mom issue.
Cool mom issue. I just have a cool mom spirit, you know.
Yeah,
I'm just finding out. So it's like I'm a good boy sometimes, I'm a daddy sometimes, I'm a cool mom sometimes. You know what I mean? We're just going to cover all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of came out as non-binary this year, and there is like a multifaceted aspect to all of us where it's just like, some days I'm this, some days I'm very like glamorous, mm-hmm. and then some days I also just kind of want to be this like dumb punk kid.
Right. I think that we're all non-binary though, which is kind of my issue with the identity, but at the same time I'm like, some of us are more non-binary than others, obviously, so like I don't disagree that some of us like kind of are non-binary. I'm just like, I don't know what the right thing for us all to like do about all of that is.
Well, it's one of those things where you accept that it's a spectrum,
right?
So the fact that any of us try and name anything is
right
pointless, and it's just like an
we're doing performing calculus on really wiggly, vague, fuzzy things.
Yeah, it's just like fluid. If this makes it easier for you to understand me, then I'm gonna give you this word.
Right, but it's like then at the same time, just like with your diagnoses, getting that label puts you into a kind of track of thinking. And
yeah, so I don't think I'm gonna start being one of those non-binary people that's like, I have to be super androgynous all the time.
Yeah.
Just like, some days I'm gonna be a little bit like this, some days I'm gonna be a little bit like that. They're both valid.
Yeah.
Some days you're a cool mom.
Sometimes I'm a cool mom.
You're just a cool mom, living your best life with your tiny dog. And
honestly, yeah.
An ice cream out of your bejeweled tumbler. What a life.
I need to get another tiny dog.
You have a tiny dog, right? Or your ex had a tiny dog.
He died.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. We're repressing it just like I've repressed all the other times. Maybe I should say that because I have this bit right now that I'm trying to do that's all about.
You could get another tiny dog and name it Prozac.
I have this like bit that I'm trying to do about my dead brothers. Like, I have two dead brothers, and the bit's really only about one of them, but it's like I have to try to get the audience to be like okay with the fact that I'm talking about my dead brothers, one of whom is whatever. And so I'm like, maybe if I just say like, it's okay, I'm repressing it all. Like, don't worry, I'm not gonna deal with their deaths for years, you know.
I think that's a smart way to go about it, because it's like anytime you start to venture off into something a little like maybe not even darker, but just like more honest. You always have to like let the audience know you're in on it,
right?
And you're okay,
right?
You're not seeking treatment,
right? Yeah. This isn't what this is. Like, I have something funny to tell y'all. yeah because it is funny. My dead brother, it's like I just so quickly got to the funny with him, like, because if I have a good enough audience, then I'll end the bit by saying, you know how comedy equals tragedy plus time? With my brother, I feel like his whole life we did the time. We were just waiting for the tragedy, and now we can all laugh. Like,
that's great.
And that's that's what I'm trying to get people to. But if they don't, you know, I've messed it up the last couple times I've done it on stage. I've not clicked with the audience that everything's okay. So
yeah, I'm trying to do one because I had this like, so like this past year we were taking care of my boyfriend's mom who was like dying of cancer. And so there's like a lot of different things about that journey that I like want to be able to talk about. But the funniest thing to me right now, which I haven't figured out how to make funny for the audience, is her last words that she said to me. And it has to do, so like she's on all these drugs. She's very delirious. I'm saying, you know, my final goodbyes because the hospice nurse is like, she's gone in 24 hours. And so I'm like, bye, Gail. I love you, Gail. And I'm leaving out the door. And she looks at her son, doesn't recognize him, pushes him away and says, get out of here, Chinese. And it's the funniest thing to me because this old Japanese woman in her last dying moments was racist to her son.
This is so real because I mean, like, I talk about on stage how racist Asians are against each other and the hierarchy.
Japanese people think
Japanese are the best. Well, most people agree with them. Like, the truth is, like, even the Koreans and the Vietnamese and the Cambodians all kind of believe in the same hierarchy. Even there's some, a little bit of like the Chinese and the Koreans both think they're number three after Japan and Singapore, whatever. But it's just so, that's so perfect.
Yeah. And I'm trying to set it up where. Like, I'm trying to set up that idea, the same thing, where it's just like, no, you have to understand, Asian people think they're better than everybody else. Uh-huh. And this last moment I have with this woman I've gotten to know for like 7 years is her looking
that's
at her son.
So good.
And I was just like, it's just, I left immediately because I said, anything she says after this, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Because that's my last
memory. Oh, that's the last thing you heard her say.
Last thing I heard her say.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't actually her last words.
To me, they were.
That's just funny. I mean, I really thought those were her last. Yeah.
For the purpose of that joke.
Okay.
Those would be her
actual last words.
Her actual last words. But they were the last words to me. Mm-hmm. And of course, if it happened to me, there is no other world. Yeah. And so it's just really funny to me. And I'm like, I'm trying to get that's you guys funny. To understand why yeah. this is hilarious.
No, yeah. I mean, when I talk about it, it's like it is... you know, the audience gets a little nervous sometimes. The more Asian people are in the audience, the better, because they'll always be like, true, it's true.
They absolutely yeah. get it.
I'm yeah. like, if you want to stop Asian hate, do something about the Asians, because that's,
yeah.
that's where the hate.
I was just like, yeah.
That's where the opinions get.
Anytime I would ask her, I was like, hey, Gail, do you want to get Korean food? She'd spit out of the corner of her mouth yeah. like a little racist Tourette. She'd go, Europeans. But I loved her.
But and by the way, it's not just the Asians. Like all the everybody does that. The Mexicans have a hierarchy of different kinds of Mexicans. Central Americans have both actual Mexicans.
Oh yeah.
And
I think there's like a sort of like there's those white people in America. My boyfriend's brother was telling me about this, where he has like a relative that was saying. He's like, oh, I want to move to like Europe because I'm tired of like the crazy unchecked racism in America. And then we're like, you know, people in Europe are super racist. Yeah. Like people in the UK, super racist.
Yeah. Everyone around the whole world is
like
racist.
The idea that in your liberal heart that if you move somewhere else, you won't be right. like taxed by racism and experience right. it in your everyday life. I was just like, that's the definition of sort of wheat privilege, yeah. to borrow a phrase.
Who is it who has that bit about like the Norwegians getting in a fight with the Swedens or something? Like there's like, because there's a real hierarchy even amongst
those northern Scandinavians.
Ones. Scandinavian ones have a whole thing and who's worse than whom, but some agreement on, you know.
I don't know too many like people who are up on Norway that way.
It's like a comic, like an older Austin comic who has that bit. Anyway, so funny. I wish I could remember.
It's racism is everywhere. It's in the water that you drink. Mm-hmm. So just accept that it is a real thing.
It's just like pee. There's a little bit everywhere.
Yeah, and it's just like it's like poison in our sunscreen. Like, just accept that it's there.
It's like bacteria, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a little.
Oh.
Maybe you need a little healthy racism to fight the bad racism.
I think maybe that's what comedy is. I think the healthy racism is, like, anytime any other race wants to shit on white people, I'm like, you know what? Historically, fair. and I'll give them that. If it makes them feel better.
Just bend over and take it.
I'll bend over and take it.
Yeah, that's the thing about whatever the wheat devil people have done to ourselves. We are kind of a kinky masochistic bunch. So
oh, yeah. I think
we're ready to take our spankings from the rest of the world.
I think we're ready for your
big black dicks to ram. So like we're all, yeah.
I think there's people that definitely, especially
in the fetish community. We're super horny for our comeuppance.
Super horny.
Punish us, daddy. Yeah.
And that's why there's all those restaurants where it's just like, oh, I'm going to pay someone to be mean to me.
Oh, yeah.
When they spit in my food in front of me and I'll go to this like Karen Diner or whatever it is and just like get the worst service of my life and then be like, oh, what an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, ugh, paying someone to be mean to you is crazy to me.
We all gotta do our penance.
I guess so.
Little flagellation. Yeah, it's hot. All right, well, I think we solved a few of the world's problems, so that's good.
That's good.
Do you want to plug anything or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I'll be hosting for Joe List at Cap City January 19th through the 21st. So I think there's tickets still available to that. But Joe is a great comic. He's based out of New York. He has a special on YouTube you can check out. He also has a movie called The 4th of July.
He's super famous and cool.
Super famous and cool. Definitely check it out. Check me out. Buy tickies.
Nice. Thanks.
Thank you.